Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. United Artists. The Mirisch Production Company presents Guns of the Magnificent Seven. Not far from some prison cells in a Mexican fort, two soldiers lift a shirtless prisoner from a metal cage and drag him across the ground of the central court. They drop the exhausted man at the feet of an officer who stands over him, idly tapping a riding crop on the top of his own leather boot.
Where is the meeting?
In the church.
Is Quintero with him?
Yes.
The mustachioed officer, Colonel Diego, steps away as he considers this. Starring George Kennedy, James Whitmore, Maximiliano, a young Mexican wearing a red poncho, and Quintero, an older man smartly dressed in a black suit, make their way to a white stone church. Co-starring Monty Markham, René Santoni, a number of other men are also converging on the church. Music composed and conducted by Elmer Bernstein. Sitting upon a white horse, Diego leads a column of riders out through the gates of the fort. The horse soldiers file out slowly, two abreast. The fort they're leaving is large and of solid stone construction. Sentries are patrolling the high perimeter wall, and the flag of Mexico is flying from one of several raised turrets. Once out of the fort, the column picks up the pace, riding at a canter past some laborers. The men are emptying a basket of white sandy material into a cart under the watchful eye of armed guards. More workers stop to watch the soldiers as they make their way over a small wooden bridge that spans a ravine. Written by Herman Hoffman. Produced by Vincent M. Fennelly. Directed by Paul Wendkos. A meeting's taking place inside the church.
Señor Quintero, for 3 years, they have heard nothing but talk. Now, when are we going to do something? When are we going to get the soldiers off our necks?
Soon, my friend. Soon. But first, we must grow strong. In 1 week, I go to Sonora to meet with the Revolutionary Council. If I can show them the support of the people and the young fighters in the hills, they promise that the generals sympathetic to our cause will come over to our side. The Presidente will run before our strength. Then you will be free to live as men and not as animals.
And what about Lobero?
He's a bandit and a thief.
Oh, it's hard to respect the law when you feel the heel of its boot on your back.
I'm not so sure that what Lobero wants from the revolution is the same as we want.
But he says he wants to help. And he has many guns.
Do you trust him?
Only his guns.
For the revolution, I would make a bargain with the devil. So why not with Lobero? Let him join us. Perhaps after we win, he will change. Oh, it is time for me to go.
Señor Quintero, please be careful, huh? You took a big chance just coming here.
In these days, one takes a chance every time he wakes up in the morning.
Everyone in the church takes cover.
Zero! We are waiting!
It's Diego. They're all over the place.
Staying low, Max crawls over to a man, leaning with his head against a wall.
Benito?
The man's been shot through the chest, and he falls over.
Is he dead?
She's dead.
I told you we should have brought guns.
Guns? What guns?
Max edges closer to Quintero.
Quintero!
It is useless to resist. Must wait for our time. Take this. It will help. Somehow. I don't know how. We'll be together. If I live.
You will live.
Quintero! I do not like to be kept waiting!
The two men slowly get to their feet. Quintero wipes the sweat from his forehead, and Max straightens the older man's jacket collar. The other men present, all dressed in modest farmer's clothes, look on as Quintero walks with resignation to the entrance of the church. Max and the others are right behind him as he steps out to face Diego and his troops. Still in the saddle, Diego's face is impassive, as he watches the last of the men step out into the sun. He gestures with his riding crop, and two soldiers step over to Quintero and drag him over to a donkey. They lift him onto it, and Diego points at him.
Look at your leader! El Palomito! The little Davo would be an eagle! Good luck.
You will not see him again. This is who you follow, but you go nowhere. He talks. Oh, how he talks, but he does not fight. Must we teach you again and again? To resist the president only brings death. Will you never learn? Tie them up.
Soldiers set about tying up the other prisoners. One by one, they're dragged away. Diego's leading his men along the dry brown grass of a shallow gully. Quintero's upon the donkey at his side, while the other prisoners are struggling along on foot behind them. Their hands are bound with rope, and mounted soldiers are pulling them. Max is working to free himself with a knife. Quintero.
They have done nothing. Why made them suffer? Because of me.
Perhaps you are right. I do nothing on the farms, they will do nothing in prison. We are short on rations, so why feed stupid mouths?
At a signal from Diego, a subordinate rides back along the column, shouting an order. Immediately, the soldiers with prisoners in tow peel off from the rest of the line. Quintero looks over his shoulder and sees the breakaway group has divided and started to ride in circles, two groups of horses wheeling round and round, dragging their prisoners off their feet. His hands freed, Max rolls away and quickly hides himself in a ditch. He watches helplessly as the horse soldiers gather speed, dragging their hapless prisoners along the ground in great clouds of dust. Finally, the guards let go of their ropes. They ride away, leaving the grassy field behind them dotted with the motionless figures of white-garbed men. Horrified by the sight, Quintero faces the front again and closes his eyes. Diego looks down at him with a look of satisfaction. Max, the sole survivor of the massacre, is still lying in the ditch. Looking out at the scattered bodies, he begins to weep. Nighttime. A lookout has been posted on top of a rocky ridge, at the base of which a number of unsaddled horses stand over their sleeping riders. The only movement in evidence is Max stepping cautiously through the camp. He crouches to wake a sleeping man.
Romero. Romero. Tierra de hombre, Romero. It's me, Maximiliano.
What happened?
Quintero's been captured.
The little dove is in the rat hole!
The grey-bearded libero fires a pistol in the air, waking the rest of the camp.
I told you not to let him come, no. Nobody listens to libero. Now we will have to get him out. Tomorrow.
But every time we do, we don't.
But every time we do, we don't what?
Every time we go in, we don't come back. Two brothers I have lost, trying to get your uncle out.
He's right, Lobero. We're going to need some help.
We need help. I have men. I have guns.
It's not enough.
It's not enough. You have a plan.
I know of someone who can help us.
Someone who can help us. Who is this great genius, this great man?
I have never seen him. All I know is that he's a friend, and his name is Chris.
And he will help us because he loves us.
No, no, for money.
For money? How much money?
$600.
$600? American?
American.
You have the money?
Max smiles and shakes his head.
What do you think, Miguel?
I think we
should... I don't care what you think.
Libero takes a swig from a bottle and gargles.
Ah, okay. All right. Maximiliano, you go. But you better come back with the cannons and the guns and the dynamite and the whole shooting match.
In a frontier town, cowboys on horses are firing their guns in the air as a small mob bundles a man in a red shirt out of a general store and along the street. The man's hauled up onto a scaffold.
You got anything to say, stranger?
Said it all at my trial. You didn't believe me then.
Bring him up.
You want to know my name before you hang me?
Not particularly. Just your last words.
I demand a recount.
We've been all through that before. It was your word against the Garrett boys. Three of the finest men I know. Born and bred right here in this town.
You mean three of the finest liars you know?
Stealing a man's horse in this country is worse than stealing his wife. There's been too much of this thing going on, and I'm going to put a stop to it.
Horse stealing or wife stealing, Judge?
Come on, Judge, let's get on with it. I got some steers once branded.
All right, boys, get on with it.
I'm a reasonable man, Judge. Give him a recount.
All right, Coley. Whatever you say. Everybody in favor of hanging this man, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against?
A tall, burly gunslinger standing to the rear of the crowd speaks up.
No.
And who says no?
Me.
Just who are you to say no?
Well, who do you have to be? Say no to a rigged court, stretching the neck of some poor slob.
And what would you suggest?
Well, she's just another horse. She's nothing special. He could be anybody's.
He steps through the crowd.
This man says it's his. Huh? This man says it's his. One of them's a liar.
You better prove I'm a liar.
I can't do that.
Then who can?
The horse.
The bearded cowboy glances back at the horse.
It's all right with me, Judge. Take the horse out in the middle of the street.
The judge signals for the accused man, Kino, to be released. The noose, which had been placed around his neck, is removed, and his hands are untied. Kino follows Chris, the tall gunslinger, over to a water trough. Chris bends over the trough and splashes a little water on his face. A man stands holding the reins of a saddled horse in the middle of the street, and the crowd have separated to stand on either side of it, waiting expectantly for whatever happens next. Kino looks nervous. The bearded cowboy is standing on the opposite side of the street, the horse in between them. With the sun beating down, the horse turns its head from one to the other. The cool water in the trough is directly behind Kino. He looks over at Chris, who stares back at him, subtly and slyly nodding in the direction of the horse.
Come on, horse. Come on. Come on, horse. Come to Daddy. Come on, Billy boy. Come on. Billy boy. Come on, Billy boy. Come on, Billy boy. Yeah, come on, fella. Come on, Billy boy. Come over here. Come on.
The horse steps over towards the water trough and Kino.
Come on, Billy boy, come to Daddy. That's it. Come on, Billy boy. Come on.
The bearded cowboy looks puzzled.
Come on, fella. Come on. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's fair and square and good enough for me. Case dismissed.
A man hands Kino a Stetson and a gun belt. Then he claps him on the shoulder before heading off. Chris walks over.
We'd better get out of here before they wise up.
Haul it, you two. I'm overruling the judge. Something real snaky going on.
I know you, Chris.
A lot of people know you. Mostly sheriffs. That's my horse. I want him. And I'm gonna have it. I'll count to three.
Townsfolk run for cover.
They'll draw on two.
Chris nods.
One. Two.
Chris and Kino both draw, fire and die for cover as the bearded man and two others open up on them. Chris has wounded one of the men. Lying behind the water trough, Kino signals to Chris, who runs to a nearby horse. Kino keeps firing from his position as Chris rides over to him.
Let's go!
Chris keeps their opponent's heads down while Kino gets saddled up himself. Together, they gallop out of town.
That's my horse! Let's get after them!
Max has witnessed the whole event. The horse Kino was riding is drinking at the side of a river. He removes a rifle from the saddle and strides over to join Chris, who's sitting by a campfire.
Is that your horse?
Nope. Coley's the thief, stole my horse in Dodge. Rigged faro game.
So you stole his, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's only fair.
You didn't really have to call me a poor slob, did you? Name's Keno.
I like that better than poor slob. I know you from someplace. Fresno, Laramie, St. Joe. You ever been a lawman?
I just got out.
For what?
No questions.
No questions.
Chris raises a coffee cup in toast, and the two men drink. Hearing the sound of a horse picking its way down a rocky incline, they both dive to the ground, their guns drawn. Keno sneaks away and catches the rider by surprise, leaping up and knocking him off his horse. The rider is Max. Keno quickly overpowers him, punching him to the ground and disarming him. Chris walks over.
Hello, Chris.
This sure seems to be my day for strangers.
Oh, you were magnificent. Both of you. And there you were, standing on the scaffold, alone and friendless, and the crowd is yelling, killing, killing. But you stand there, ready to die. Proud and defiant and unafraid. And suddenly, there's a voice.
No.
And Chris steps forward, as cool as the other side of the pillow. One man against 1,000. Oh, Chris, I'm so glad I follow you. My cousin said to me, find a man. He's called Chris, and he will help you.
Who's your cousin?
Well, in Mexico, everybody's a cousin. And all the cousins are in trouble now. Big trouble. Angel Quintero has been captured. He's our only leader. With him, we are something. Without him, we are nothing. He's in prison. We need your help.
Have you tried to get him out yourself?
We have the will, but not the way. Diego, the prison comandante, he's a crazy one. And our hands are tied. Un gato con guante no caza ratón. That's a cat with mittens doesn't catch the rat. Can you help us? I have money. Lots of money. Yeah, it's all yours. $600.
American?
It's American.
This prison, is it a big one?
It's the Cave of the Rats. It's like a fort.
I've heard of it.
Looking thoughtful, Chris steps away, holding the money pouch Max gave him, clinking some coins in his hand. He turns to face Max.
I need help, more men.
We have the men. Quick with the guns, but slow with the brains.
6 men. Not enough to cause suspicion, just enough to do the job.
He steps closer.
6 men, $100 a man. You like?
Yeah, I like it.
It's a deal.
Thanks. Oh, and Chris, can I fight with you? Oh, it's not for the money. I could not take it, but it's for Quintero.
And on the basis of what you did against Keno?
Oh, well, I'm young, I'm strong, I'm angry, and I will learn. Besides, my cousin says that 7 is a lucky number for you, no?
What's your name?
Maximiliano Bienvenido O'Leary.
Why do you people always have such long names?
I don't know. Perhaps it's because we all have such short lives. Well, Chris, can I fight with you?
Chris offers Max his hand.
Welcome, Max.
Thank you, Chris.
Max smiles as Chris and Kino return to their campsite. Off several explosions on a rocky promontory. Men and horses scatter as dislodged boulders plummet down the rock face. The roof of a mine shaft collapses. Cassie, the man who triggered the dynamite, is a muscular, shirtless black man. He pushes through the men who have gathered at the entrance of the mine. He runs inside and scrambles over rubble to a man who's been trapped by a fallen beam.
We'll get you out here. We'll get you out.
He positions himself beneath one end of the beam.
Hold on, we'll get you out here.
Straining with all his might, Cassie pushes up against it with his back. He raises the beam high enough for the miners who have joined him to pull the stricken man free. Finally, his face contorted with the effort, he allows the heavy beam to drop back down. He slides himself out from beneath it and crawls back out of the shaft. As several men carry the injured man to a nearby hut, Cassie walks over to a water barrel. He bends over it and ladles some water over the back of his head. A man approaches him.
That's great. Just great. That's going to cost us nothing but time and money.
I told you it might collapse. The surface charge was too much and too close.
You're all back and no brains, boy, so you stick your damn advice. The company shouldn't hire your kind in the first place. Go on, pick up your card and get your butt back up in the trees where you belong.
Cassie forces the man's head into the barrel.
He ain't worth killing, Cassie.
Chris and Kino are looking on.
We tell the show that it's you!
Cassie throws the man aside.
You're through, you hear? You're through! Get the hell off of this property before I call a sheriff! Go on!
What the hell are you doing here?
I'm looking for you.
What's on your mind?
I got something going. I need you.
Who is this?
Name's Kino.
This is a rough go, huh, Cassie?
Yeah. If I ain't right here much longer, I'll end up in jail.
Wouldn't you rather blow one up?
For money or for laughs?
Not as much as you'd make in a year. $100. Not many laughs.
I don't work here no more. I just might take you up on that.
Chris and Kino are knocking on the door of a crude shack when a knife is suddenly thrown at them. It pins Kino's hat against the door. He draws quickly, aiming his gun at a man aged about 50.
Chris, how are you? It's good to see you.
Levi.
Long time. Say, I'm sorry about your hat, stranger.
Yeah, so am I. Levi, this is my friend, Kino.
Oh, well, then you know, stranger.
Levi.
Come on, then. Get in there. Well, sit down. This is my wife. She's a good woman, but she don't like strangers. Just me.
So I notice.
Yeah, can't surprise you a little bit that I got these shots left in me.
Huh?
You didn't wait very long to fire
him. I didn't have much time. Say, supper's just about ready. We're having beans. Hope you like beans, Kendall.
Okay, that's all we're having is beans.
Fine, fine. Milk for the kids. No whiskey. We can't afford it.
Land does look a little tough and dry.
Oh, it's like jerky. Dry well don't help none.
Why don't you take a new one?
I haven't got time. I got to feed the family first.
Would $100 help?
Bending over a water barrel to wash his face, Levi turns to look at Chris, his face suddenly serious. He stands up and walks over to him, his face still wet.
What's the action? Prison break in Mexico.
Levi shakes his head.
No, Chris. Packed all that in. Talking with my mouth now, mostly. Besides, I'm too old. It's time for setting and looking. Most of the time, anyway.
$100, dig your new well, buy a lot of staples.
I ain't as fast as I used to be.
You're probably a lot smarter. And you look just as tough.
Well, what do you say we find out the way we used to? One, two, three.
An arm wrestling contest. Chris and Levi fix each other with a steady gaze as they strain to push each other's arm over. Ah. Levi wins.
I think he's being kind to me, Chris. In more ways than one.
No, I've got guns. But nobody handles a knife like you do.
Beans, Mr. Morgan.
Beans, Miss Morgan. I'll think it over.
Fireworks sparking on a revolving wheel at a busy carnival fair in town. Chris and Kino stand watching a scantily clad belly dancer before drifting past a variety of stalls, tents and kiosks. Kino touches the brim of his hat as a lady passes by, then catches up with Chris, who's looking at a man performing a fire-breathing act. They amble over to where people have gathered around a carnival stage marked Buffalo Ben. On the stage, a pretty blonde woman throws three coloured balls in the air, and a bearded gunslinger wearing a Confederate Army jacket deftly shoots each of them before they can fall back down. The woman bows whilst the man looks faintly bored.
Buffalo Ben, is he? Never heard of him.
The woman theatrically raises a glass to her lips, and the heckler shoots it out of her hand before the gunslinger can do so himself.
It ain't all that hard to shoot at something, don't shoot back. Besides, I don't like reps. I think I just might shoot the buttons right off of that mangy uniform.
Spectators move back as the gunslinger holsters his pistol and slowly steps down from the stage. He stands some distance from the heckler, facing away from him, with his right hand hanging ready by his holster. The heckler draws, but the gunslinger's quicker, shooting him with a pistol aimed from behind his back. Chris and Kino knock down two other gunmen.
Now you better get your friend to the doctor.
Who then pick themselves up and carry the injured heckler away.
Hey, it's just a part of the show, folks. Just a part of the show. Now
step as the crowd disperses, Chris picks up the heckler's gun. They step over to join the gunslinger at...
Hello, Chris. Don't you remember me?
The man removes his fake tash and beard.
Slater!
Slater looks down at his left arm.
It's useless.
about as useless as I am.
I've seen a lot of phony acts, friend, but you're not one of them.
You're damn right I'm not, friend.
Slater, this is Kino.
Slater? I'm a freak, Kino. I'm a half man, half gun. Well, I can't whip a six-year-old girl in a fair fight. But I can blow a man's eyeballs out at 100 yards in a sandstorm. Sir, I'm a real attraction.
This is a tough way to make a living.
You know better?
Better than this.
There's nobody ever heard of a one-armed gunny.
Not until just now.
The two men look over at Kino.
Can we see you in town later?
Yeah.
Slater starts to walk away, then stops and turns to look back at Chris.
You ain't just feeling sorry for me.
Chris shakes his head. In a saloon.
A wife and a gaggle of kids. So you're sold out, Levi?
No, I bought in. You know, it takes a man my age to appreciate a real woman. She's worth it, too.
Well, I appreciate them, Levi. Everyone I ever had, I just appreciated the hell out of.
I don't think you ever met a real woman, Nino. Except maybe your mama.
Yeah.
Los hombres tienen que pelear, las mujeres tienen que llorar.
Everyone around the table stares at Max.
The men have to fight, and the women have to cry. I was lonely. I wanted to say something in my own language.
Why, Max? Men have to fight and women have to cry.
I don't know, Chris. It's just a saying.
Coming out.
Chris deals out the cards.
Wish this is for real money. Well, it won't be long. $100. I never even seen that much money before. She'll open a lot of watermelon.
Levi stands aside as Cassie roughly grabs Slater by his collar.
You better get yourself all busted up, boy.
You rag on.
If you want a cripple, I'd break your back.
It was a joke, Cassie. A joke, that's all.
I don't see nobody laughing.
Maybe it was a bad joke.
It was a bad joke. Let him go, Cassie.
Cassie lets him go, and Levi hands Slater his hat.
Queen bets.
Yeah.
In for one.
Yeah.
I call.
Yeah.
Coming around again. With the queen.
Here we go.
Two fours.
Yeah.
Jack seven, ten.
May I have a word with you, Chris?
A black-clad gunslinger.
These are my friends, PJ. Queen ace bets one.
PJ steps closer.
Call.
Who are you looking?
I'm looking.
Well, I'm asking.
The other men eye the newcomer, who lifts a hand to his mouth as he coughs.
You sure you're up to it, PJ?
Yeah, I'm up to it.
You want to know what it is?
Well, if you're in, it's all right with me.
You want to know the money?
Whatever you say.
Seat open over here, PJ.
PJ steps around the table to take a seat next to Chris. Chris turns a card over from the deck he's holding. The Seven of Spades.
Seven here.
The seven hired guns ride over the crest of a hill together. They're silhouetted against cloudy skies in the early morning light. Chris is leading the way as they splash through the shallow water of a stream. Galloping over another stream, the hired guns are brought to a halt by the sight of something up ahead. Dangling from a line of telegraph poles are the bodies of hanged men. Chris looks back at the others, who are all staring up earnestly at the grim spectacle. They press on regardless. Far in the distance, the seven ride in single file down a grassy hill. The riders follow Chris down into a small gully and up the other side. Mounted soldiers are escorting a party of weary-looking labourers who are carrying spades and pickaxes to one of several prison wagons fitted with wooden barred enclosures. The men are treated roughly by two guards on foot. They're being whipped and pushed as they climb into the wagon. Chris and the others ride past, staring through the bars at the faces of the men inside. PJ's the last in line, and he watches more prisoners being loaded into a wagon before riding past the mounted soldiers. The seven turn to see a young boy running towards the wagons.
Papa! Papa! Papa!
Hijo.
A prisoner runs towards the boy, but he's brutally whipped by a mounted guard. The boy attacks the guard, grabbing at his leg. Chris and the others ride over. PJ lassoes the guard, pulling him from his saddle. He and several of the other hired guns draw their pistols as the rest of the mounted soldiers swiftly form a line to face them. At an order, one of them rides away. The father and son have been reunited. The man hugs the boy as Chris walks over.
It's our official prison. They had to come back. Ven, viejo. I warned you, sir. Get out of my way.
Chris faces off a mounted officer as the father is returned to the wagons. The young boy looks on tearfully as the prisoner detail heads off, the wagons and horses kicking up dust on the narrow dirt road. Max is standing nearby as Chris steps towards the boy and kneels down next to him.
Where do you live?
In the hills.
Have you no home?
They burned it.
You go?
To find my father.
Well, maybe we can help you.
Why do you want to help me?
Looking frustrated, Chris stands and turns away.
You ask too many questions.
I asked only one.
Then I will ask one. Where will you go if not with us?
The boy walks over to the other hired guns, who are still on their horses. He walks along in front of them, examining their faces closely. He points at Levi.
ride with him.
Levi helps him up into the saddle behind him, and the boy wraps his arms around him. The riders continue on their way, following the trail as it winds up a small hill. There's a tall rocky mountain in the distance as Chris leads the men onwards. Levi and the boy are now bringing up the rear.
What is your name?
Levi Morgan. What's yours?
Emiliano Zapata.
I'll call you Emil.
I'll call you Levi.
All right.
Riding along a rocky road that leads into a small village, Chris and his companions slow to a stop. A large troop of horse cavalry led by Diego himself is blocking the way ahead.
He's the one I told you about.
An officer to Diego.
There he is. The one I told you about.
Do you not know interfering with the Federal Guard is a prison offense?
I made a mistake. You have my apologies, Colonel.
Next time you will act differently, huh?
You may be sure of that, Colonel. A lot differently.
What are you looking for here?
Silver.
What else?
Gold?
Without supplies, no food or tools. You hunt silver with a gun, you shoot it like an animal.
No, we thought we would get our supplies here.
There's nothing here, senor. No silver in the hills, only rebels.
I'm glad you told us that, Colonel. If you see any rebels, we'll report them to you.
You will not stay long, senor.
Only until we get what we came for.
I trust that will be soon.
We all do, Colonel.
With a flick of his riding crop, Diego orders his men on, and they ride past the seven gunslingers. Max looks at Chris.
Pig without armor is still but a pig.
They ride on. Chris and the others pass through a Mexican township. A young boy rushes to see them riding past. The seven have arrived at a rudimentary settlement consisting mainly of tents erected amongst some rocky hills. Two men hold the reins of Chris and Max's horses as they dismount and have a look around. The camp's inhabitants are mainly women and children.
I see and you see. All the young men are hidden in the hills. They'll come down when Quintero is free and not before.
Cassie places his saddle gear onto a wooden fence, then looks over at Slater, who's using his one good arm to strip his horse of its saddle before lugging it over to the fence. He drops the saddle down next to Cassie's. PJ, meanwhile, is leading his horse over to a small water pool where a young woman is washing some clothes. He suddenly looks unwell, leaning against his horse before dropping to one knee and coughing. As he lifts some water to his lips, the young woman, pretty with long black hair, steps over to him. She looks concerned as she gently rubs the man's arm and back.
No.
Emil is helping Levi to take his boots off. Levi laughs as he finishes taking off a boot. Emil sits down next to him, and Levi puts a paternal arm around the boy.
Gracias.
An old woman has just handed Chris, Kino and Max some food when some riders enter the settlement.
It's Lobato.
Is that a welcome party or a lynch party?
With Lobato, you never can tell.
Max stands up to greet the rebel leader. Cassie, Slater, PJ, and the other hired guns all look on as Lobato looks down at Max from his horse.
$600. American. Where are the cannons, the guns, the dynamite? Is this, these few men, this is what you bring to take our little dove from Diego?
You don't understand, Lobato.
I understand. Does he understand? That one. He's the leader. I can tell it is in the eyes. Does he understand that he will have to fight against soldiers? Soldiers, not Indians with little bows and arrows. Soldiers! 10 times more than you. 20, 30 times more.
He has a plan.
He has a plan. He also has our money, but I am the only one that has the men and the guns. What plan? Where is this plan?
Well, when I'm ready, I'll tell you.
When he is ready. Not when Lobato is ready, when he is ready.
What? Give him the chance, Lobato.
I do not need your advice. All right. I will wait, but not for long.
Lobato and his men ride off. Nighttime in the camp.
Levy?
Ah.
Will my father ever come home?
Oh, you very well.
Levy? Will you be my father until he comes home?
You bet I will.
Levy?
What?
Why is it that people always fight?
Well, Emil, someday you're gonna be an old man just like me, and when you are, you may get an answer to that question, and if you do, you tell me, will you?
You bet I will.
Chris is sitting next to a slumbering Max.
Max? You ever been inside the rat hole?
Not yet.
Well, you will be.
How's that?
We gotta get the layout.
How are we going to get in?
Just ride in.
In a simple hut, an ailing PJ is coughing as he rolls over beneath the blanket he's lying under. Tina, the pretty young Mexican woman, places another blanket on top of him and gazes down at him as he sleeps. Elsewhere, Slater stirs from his sleep. He thrashes about with his gun drawn.
A blow pen, is he? Never heard of him.
Greg, you better get yourself all busted up, boy. You want a cripple that break your back?
It was a joke, Cassie. A joke, that's all.
I don't see nobody left.
Beside himself with torment, Slater shoots into the ground and into the air. He throws his gun away, then staggers over to an axe that's been left in a chopping block. He grabs it and is about to chop his disabled arm off When Cassie restrains him, he punches Slater in the face. Cassie stares down at the unconscious Slater. Daytime. Five of the seven are sitting up on a hill watching as Chris and Max approach the fort on horseback. A guard is standing idly in a raised turret on the fort wall. Next to him is a machine gun, its barrel aimed out towards the approaching riders. Chris gives a friendly salute to the man.
We need water for our horses.
You must have permission.
Well, your colonel is an old friend.
I will check with the sergeant.
Permission to water horses. See?
The sergeant, he will talk to the colonel.
It's a nice place you've got here.
Thank you, senor. The presidente himself gave us a commendation.
It's a big place.
200 men.
Does my friend work you 7 days a week?
It is hard work, but only 6 days. Sunday is no work. Our wives come that day.
Early, I bet, huh?
Unhappily, no, sir. In the afternoon after church. Some just say they are wives. I have two.
The prisoners' wives come too?
Never. 7 days a week for them.
Well, have fun with both your wives.
The fort gates open, and Chris and Max ride on in. Inside, Diego stands looking down at 9 prisoners who've been buried up to their necks in the sand.
Ah, the treasure hunters. You are just in time.
We will talk now. We will never talk again. Who are your district leaders? Where are your guns? What are your orders?
Diego strides over to Quintero, who's standing nearby.
With what treacherous generals do you meet?
He lifts Quintero's chin with his riding crop.
I repeat, with what treacherous generals do you meet?
Quintero fails to respond, and Diego looks back down at the men whose sweltering faces stick up out of the sandy ground. Immediately behind them, a small number of soldiers are mounted on horses that shift their feet restlessly. Diego glares at Quintero, then steps away. He stops and turns to watch Quintero staring down at the helpless men with a look of anguish.
I cannot ask your forgiveness, my friends. I can only ask it of God.
With a swish of his riding crop, Diego signals the men on horses. They begin to ride across the ground where the men's heads are protruding. Quintero can't bear to watch. He looks away as sand and dust flies up around the horse's feet. Some prisoners looking on from behind the bars of some nearby cells cross themselves as the horses rear up and stamp the ground. One of the buried men cries out in fear and pain as the soldiers spur their horses into dealing out yet more punishment. Max watches the horrible spectacle with unwavering eyes. Chris, too, is looking on with a steady gaze, his eyes betraying his disgust and dismay. Finally, the mounted men bring their horses into line again, and Diego steps closer to Quintero.
is over. Soon there will be another, and another, and another, until you learn.
Two guards drag Quintero away. He struggles as they drop him into a metal cage not far from the prison cells. The cage is half buried in the ground, and the open bars on top expose Quintero to the hot sun. Diego walks over to Chris.
You find your silver?
No silver.
Where are the rest of your men?
In the hills.
Oh, that is dangerous. The hills are full of bandits and criminals. He will be leaving soon.
Chris nods.
Good. I would advise it. I have advised it before.
Yes. Very few men have impressed me as you have.
Diego watches as Chris and Max ride to the gate which is opened for them. They leave the fort.
Lieutenant, you notice anything, unusual?
No, sir.
That is why you are not the colonel. Not water their horses.
Why did they come here?
With his riding crop, Diego indicates Quintero, who collapses in despair to the floor of his cage.
You've seen what I've seen, except in a prison. You should be glad you didn't see it.
That's 200 of them. That's 30 to 1.
Thin odds. What about the barrel?
You never can tell with him. He changes like the wind.
Without him, we might be dead.
Even with him, we might be.
You want out? Nobody told you that this would be easy. You're being paid to do a job. I'm going to do what I have to do. You're going to do what you have to do. Anybody that wants out is out.
Chris strides away. Slater, Kino, and Levi all follow him. Cassie steps away too, leaving only PJ and Max. Finally, PJ walks off after the others, and Max follows on behind him. Once all seven men have saddled up, they ride off together across hilly scrubland. Chris and the others are resting back at the camp when Libero and his men return. Libero and Miguel dismount, and the rebel leader approaches the hired guns. He addresses Max.
When do we fight?
Ask Chris.
You. You have looked, you have seen. What do you wait for? I say attack now. You have been paid. Earn it. You have taken the money, but you do not deliver the goods. What do you know of this land? Of my people and their needs? You are nothing but a stinking hired killer. You say you have a plan. What is this plan for my people?
Smoking a cigar, Chris gets to his feet and steps closer to Libero.
You're not one of your people.
You are a liar and a coward.
If you move any way but backwards, and you lose that eye.
Under Chris's angry glare, Libero backs off. He moves slowly to where Miguel is holding the reins of his horse. Then he climbs into the saddle. Kino and the others have their guns aimed at Libero's men and now watch as the rebel leader and his gang ride out of the settlement. Kino looks less than impressed as he empties the bullets from his pistol.
There go our troops.
Chris looks over to see Emil staring at him with worried eyes. Emil's riding a donkey alongside the 7 mounted gunslingers.
Emil, are you sure this is the way?
I'm sure. I think.
There gonna be 3 wagons.
That's what I saw before. Chris? I don't believe him. Libero.
About what?
The money. You do not help us only because of the money. Do you, Chris?
Like Max says, you ask too many questions.
Chris rides on, leading his companions along a dust trail that cuts through rocky outcrops. Beneath blue skies, 3 horse-drawn prison wagons and an escort of mounted soldiers are making their way along a dirt road. A large tree log has been placed across the road ahead, and the lead wagon's forced to slow to a halt. Several guards are shot dead by 4 of the 7, who have lain in ambush behind some nearby rocks. The remaining soldiers try to flee in the other direction, but accurate rifle fire from the rest of the hired guns brings down yet more of them. The gunslingers keep up a ferocious and sustained hail of fire, which all but decimates the escort. The survivors throw up their hands in surrender. Chris and the others come out from their firing positions.
Drop it!
Levi shoots away the lock on 1 wagon. Chris shoots another. The prisoners rush out of the wagons. Emil hugs his father and Levi ushers them away. Kino hollers at a wagon team, making the horses run off, while Chris forces guards into a wagon.
Back in the wagon!
PJ sends another wagon team packing, and Levi douses the wooden bars of the empty wagon with oil. Kino's setting fire to another wagon while Max yells orders at the freed prisoners. The men scatter, arming themselves with the soldiers' rifles and taking their horses. Kino to Chris.
At least now we got something to work with.
Cuts the odds.
Not much, but some.
Chris, I have 20 men. 1 for each rifle and 1 for each horse. They're ready to fight.
But can they?
Well, they're young, they're strong, they're angry.
And they will learn, huh?
Right. A caballos!
As the 2 empty prison wagons burn, the Mexican recruits saddle up and jubilantly ride off after the 7, who are already galloping away from the scene. PJ sitting near the edge of a rocky ravine, overlooking a stream not far from the camp. He's scrutinizing a gold pocket watch when Tina joins him, carrying a cup.
Drink. Drink.
He takes the cup.
It is hot. It is good for you. You are a skinny. You could be such a fine-looking man. You have a good face. But your mother never feeds you.
She smiles at him.
Maybe I should fatten you up.
He beams back at her.
That last night. Thanks. But of all of them, why you?
I was the closest.
This uniform didn't bother you none.
Why should it? It's dead, man. You're wearing a shroud.
You don't know what it's like, Cassie. Being lonely and all. People look at you like you're some sort of animal or something.
Slater, you are an amateur. You don't know what being lonely really is. But if it's conversation you're looking for, you tell me how you got to be a cripple, and I'll tell you all about being black.
Chris is high on a hilltop with Gabrielle, Emil's father. He's using binoculars to observe the activity at the open cast mine near the fort. He watches some labourers securing a canvas sheet over a loaded wagon.
Do they always cover the wagons?
Yes, to keep the sulphur from blowing away in the wind.
Where do they go?
To the railroad.
How far?
2, maybe 3 miles.
Every day?
Sometimes twice.
What's at the railroad?
Small place. An office for the railroad and a cantina for the Federales.
Chris bites the end of a cigar. Chris is lying on his belly behind a grassy incline, studying the comings and goings at a small railroad terminal. Men are at work spreading a load of sulphur on some railway trucks, while soldiers walk into a nearby cantina, one of the few buildings next to the tracks. At the camp, the light is fading as an old woman stands praying, clutching some rosary beads. Kino's been showing some fighting moves to a group of young men. He leaves them practicing and walks across the camp to join Chris, Max, Gabrielle and Emil.
How's it going?
Rough. They want to learn. I've tried to teach them, but some of them could be damn good, but we need more time.
No more time. Or it's ladies' day at the rat hole. Hardly be in a fighting mood.
Too bad Libero isn't. We could still use him.
I think you'd like him riding behind you. Gabriel, just in case.
No, Chris. We made a deal. It's yours.
When you get Quintero back, we get that back.
He gets up and walks away. Emil leaves his father holding the money pouch Chris gave him and sets off to follow the gunslinger. Smoking a cigar and holding a cup of coffee, Chris looks lost in his thoughts as he wanders over to some rocks and takes a seat. Emil is not far behind him.
Chris?
Yeah?
Can I go with you tomorrow?
No.
Why not?
You're too little.
Emil looks disappointed.
big do you have to be to die?
Chris looks over at Emil with sadness in his eyes.
Go to bed, Emil.
Downcast, Emil steps quietly away, and Chris returns to his thoughts.
You scared, Reb? Oh. I am. Just don't give a damn. Ain't that about it, Slater? No, you just don't believe in life after birth, do you?
Did once. I can't even get a job to support my wife and kids.
And you think you got troubles? You could have been a black one-armed gunny.
Slater smiles.
You got a wife and kids. What happened?
She found a whole man.
Well, I guess that makes her about half a woman. And you better off, boy.
Emil is settling down next to Levi, who wakes up and looks briefly over at the boy before going right back to sleep. PJ's lying with Tina in his arms, whilst Kino's resting not far from Chris.
These people, they got you hooked.
No man gets hooked unless he wants to be hooked. Besides, what else is there? No more open land. Lone Man is dead. Are gone. Soon the horses will go. And it'll be our turn. You know anybody that'll be sorry to see you go? Maybe these people will be sorry to see us go. What am I preaching to you for? I'll see you in the morning.
Yeah. And I hope you'll see me tomorrow night, too.
There's a party atmosphere at Libero's camp. Libero puts down the woman he was carrying as Max rides up and dismounts nearby. Libero hugs the woman.
Well, tomorrow's the day.
So he sent you to apologize to me, eh? He wants to beg me to help him.
Does not even know I'm here. He would shoot me. He's a proud man.
A proud man. He's a greedy man.
Look, perhaps in the beginning, maybe he was. But now he feels for us.
Then let him fight for us. I hear that he has an army, killers with rifles from the Federales.
It's only a few farmers. Listen, Lobero, if it's an apology you want, I apologize. I beg for your help.
Lobero.
What has Quintero ever done for us? Has he made me a general? No. He has fancy clothes. He makes fancy talk. He's no more than a politico. What will get us guns? A little man with a funny hat? Or $600 that you gave to a stranger?
Chris was right.
As Libero returns to his amorous clinch with the woman, Max gets back on his horse.
You don't have big dreams, Libero. Only a big belly. And the rest of you, remember tomorrow, when you're half drunk and all crazy, that your brothers are out there dying for you.
Max rides off, Miguel and the rest of Libero's men turn to look at their leader, who's now laying the woman down on a blanket near a campfire. Miguel walks slowly over to the couple. Kissing the woman, Libero's placed his hat down next to him, and Miguel kicks it away. He taps Libero with the barrel of his rifle. Libero turns and looks up at him.
Maximiliano is right. You have no big dreams.
The morning sun hangs low in the sky, silhouetting the hired guns and their small band of Mexican revolutionaries. Riding single file, they cross a wooden railway bridge. At the railroad terminal, there are plenty of soldiers in evidence as laborers cover rail trucks loaded with sulfur. Chris is scrambling along the floor of a nearby gully. Being careful to stay out of sight, he crawls into a narrow passage that runs beneath the rails. He raises his head above the track and sneaks a peek at the soldiers, many of whom are entering the cantina. Somewhere on a hill, Kino's been watching carefully, and he signals to the rest of the men to follow him. Chris runs over and hides behind the railroad trucks as Kino and the others quickly scramble through the railroad passage and prepare to join him. Levi's the first to run over, swiftly followed by the remaining seven and then the Mexicans. The labourers working on the trucks look down at the men with puzzlement. Max quietly implores them to remain quiet, and the men continue with their work. Crawling out from behind the trucks, Chris uses a wagon for cover and surveys the nearby buildings. The sounds of happy revelling are emanating from the cantina. Some horses are tethered not far away, and a lone sentry is keeping guard near the railroad office. Chris emerges from behind the wagon, feigning a bad limp. Looking pained, he approaches the guard.
My horse threw me.
The guard moves closer.
My horse threw me back. Ow!
Chris knocks him to the ground. Cassie, PJ, and a young Mexican hurry over to a telegraph pole. PJ throws a rope over the top of the pole, then stands guard as Cassie hauls the young man up it. Reaching the top, the man sets about cutting the telegraph wires. Kino leads three Mexicans over to the railroad office. Glancing through a window, he signals for them to take up positions near the entrance. When a soldier emerges from the office, they beat him unconscious and carry him away. As Max orders the laborers to make themselves scarce, Chris is slowly and cautiously moving closer to the entrance of the cantina. Leaning against a wall near the door, he draws his gun and glances over to see Kino taking up a position nearby. Cassie and PJ, meanwhile, move to the far corner of the building. As Levi, Max and Slater also close in, Cassie kicks the cantina door in and rushes inside. Kino, Levi and Max follow him in. Slater hesitates at the door, then, clearly frustrated, he kicks a nearby table over. The revolutionaries delightedly run over to avail themselves of the army uniforms, weapons and equipment that's been tossed out from the door of the cantina. Chris tosses his own gun belt aside and bites the end off a cigar. Leaning against a post, he looks thoughtful as he lights up. Covered horse-drawn wagons and their military escort are returning to the small sulfur mine near the fort. Inside the imposing walls of the fort, the central court is deserted until a young woman runs out of one of the perimeter buildings, chased by a shirtless man. He catches up with her. She struggles and protests as he throws her over his shoulder and carries her back to the building. Sitting slumped against the wall of the cage cell, Quintero's eyelids flicker with exhaustion as he listens to the shouts. Diego's lying on a bed in his quarters while a pretty young woman massages his back. He turns over and gently strokes her face and neck. The wagons trundle quickly over a small wooden bridge. A guard manning one of the fort's machine gun turrets looks over at the wagons, now stopped by the ravine where the sulfur mining is taking place. The escort soldiers climb down from their saddles. They follow the laborers from the wagons down to the ravine, where a work detail is digging sulfur. The escort soldiers are disguised revolutionaries, and they attack and knock out the soldiers guarding the laborers. The seven hired guns have been hiding in the covered wagons, along with the rest of the revolutionaries. One by one, they sneak out and hurry down into the ravine. Each man is clutching a rifle as, led by Chris, they quickly make their way along the floor of the ravine, moving towards the fort. The guard in the turret is reading a newspaper and so fails to see Levi and one of the revolutionaries break cover, running from the ravine to the wall of the fort. The two men cautiously edge their way along the wall. They arrive at a point just below the turret. Levi's companion runs on a little further. Then Levi hurls a knife up at the guard, hitting him in the back. The Mexican throws his own knife, which strikes the man in the chest, and he slumps to the floor. Now Cassie accompanies PJ to the wall, and Levi takes PJ's rifle. PJ hurls a grappling hook with a rope attached to the top of the wall. He tests his weight on the rope, then Cassie quickly climbs it. As Cassie reaches the battlements, Kino leaves the ravine and moves to a wooden crate not far from the work party. He uses a crowbar to open the top of the crate and remove some sticks of dynamite. He then hurries back down into the ravine and rejoins Chris and the others. Up in the turret, Cassie's turning the machine gun around.
PJ.
Chris tosses PJ a replacement rifle as he runs to the main gates of the fort and hangs a canvas bag from its handles. He then runs along fuse wire from it and kneels down to light it. He retreats to the section of wall where the others are waiting. In the turret, Cassie takes cover as the flames on the fuse wire burn their way up to the dynamite, which blows a hole in the gate. Diego rushes to open the door of his quarters, only to duck back inside as Cassie opens fire. Chris and the other hired hands rush through the gates and shoot two guards. Soldiers in various states of undress hurry from their barracks, and Cassie mows them down mercilessly. Kino and Max join Levi and Chris behind a stone wall. They trade shots with some soldiers who've managed to take cover and are returning fire. Diego shoots a rifle through a window, killing a revolutionary. Slater, meanwhile, is on a parapet firing across at some soldiers who've taken positions on a rooftop. Cassie abandons the machine gun and climbs down a ladder to the battlements. He's hit by a bullet and staggers, but then a second shot rips through him and he plummets to the ground below. Slater hurries over. Kneeling by Cassie, he turns him over and looks into his eyes. Cassie stares up at him for the briefest of moments before dying. Slater closes Cassie's eyelids. Diego sees Slater get to his feet and start firing. He shoots him with his rifle. A second shot sends Slater to the ground. As he's struggling to get up, Diego shoots him a third time. Slater rolls over dead. Chris and the others behind the wall are putting up a fierce fight. Chris and Kino run over to some bales of hay and dive behind them. PJ's also advancing towards the soldiers.
Go.
Kino runs to the gate of a fenced-off area, a corral for horses. He throws open the gate and quickly herds the animals out. He then climbs onto the roof of a nearby building. A revolutionary is shot and drops a lighted stick of dynamite. Chris quickly throws the stick aside and pulls the man to safety. More revolutionaries run through the smoke from the explosion. The soldiers keep firing but fail to stop their advance. Chris hurls a stick of dynamite at the soldiers, taking out several of them. He moves past a wounded revolutionary and starts to climb up onto the roof of a building. Diego speaks to his lieutenant.
Take some men. Kill Quintero. Quickly!
The officer leaves Diego's quarters and runs through the battle outside to two soldiers and quickly issues an order. The men break cover and are quickly picked off by Max and a companion. Max then makes a run for the cage Quintero's imprisoned in, but gets shot himself. Quintero reaches his arms through the bars of the cage to touch Max's face. Levi runs to Max's side. As he rolls him over, Quintero lowers himself back down into the corner of the cage. Levi lights an improvised explosive and throws it at the guards. Four soldiers run towards one of the fort's empty turrets. Two of them make it inside, but Kino and Chris, firing from different positions, get the other two. As one of the soldiers falls onto a tiled roof, Kino runs down it and takes cover beneath the eaves of the building. PJ's also involved in the fight for the battlements. He shoots one soldier, then another, only to fall victim to two rifle shots. Collapsing to one knee, he pulls a bloodied handkerchief from his pocket and gazes at it before falling dead on his back. Kino hurls a stick of dynamite at the turret, killing the soldiers inside. Levi's also throwing explosives, whittling away the soldiers' numbers even more. As more soldiers are blasted by an explosion, Chris is on the move. Kino's climbing down from the roof, where he's shot by a soldier on the battlements. He falls to the ground, but manages to shoot the man, sending him tumbling to his death. Chris scrambles over to him.
Kino. No questions.
Tino dies. Chris takes his pistol and heads back into the fight. Diego still firing from the window of his quarters. He shoots a revolutionary from a roof, then steps away.
It'll not be long for them now.
Chris bursts in.
Oh. Did you find your silver? Do not worry, Carlotta. He will not shoot us. I know this kind. He fights for money, not for passion. Matter of business with him. Maybe we can make what you call a deal, huh?
Chris shoots him. Diego staggers back against a rifle rack, and Chris shoots him again. Diego slumps dead against an armchair. Outside, Libero and his gang of rebels are riding towards the fort. Chris comes to stand at the doorway of Diego's quarters, watching as the horsemen thunder through the gates. Many of them dismount and hurry to get in the fight. Chris wanders out across the central court. The last of the soldiers have quickly been overrun and captured. He looks at the death and destruction all around him, then up at Miguel, who rides over to him.
Where's your hero?
Bueno, he was sick. A bullet in his belly.
With a smile, Miguel rides off to supervise the many prisoners the rebels have taken. A revolutionary releases Quintero from the cage, while another helps the wounded Max to his feet. The bodies of Cassie, Slater, PJ, and Kino lie where they fell. At the camp, Levi hands Emil a wooden sword he's made.
Emil, I made this for you. It's really just a frog sticker, Emiliano. Well, if a man used a real one the right way, he might be able to help his people one day.
Levi?
What?
Emil runs to Levi, and they share a tight embrace. Emma looks tearfully up at Levi, who takes the boy's face in his hands and smiles at him with warmth and affection. He gently shoves the boy in the direction of his father. Max has his arm in a sling as he approaches Chris.
Chris? Chris, we're going to scatter in the hills and we're going to fight them again.
We will stalk them in the night like jaguars. We will sweep down from the mountains like hawks. We're going to tear out their throats like wolves. In the deserts, Chris, in the valleys, all of us, Chris.
Looking down from his horse, Chris smiles.
Goodbye, Chris.
Los cobardes mueren muchas muertes. El valiente solo una.
The two men raise a hand in salute to each other. Then, as the men and women of the settlement wave, Chris and Levi ride their horses out of the camp. Gabrielle.
Max! You must stop him, quickly! The money, all the money you got!
Chris! Chris!
Max!
He did not forget.
Max, what did Chris say?
Max gazes after Chris and Levi.
Said the cowards die many deaths. The brave only one.
Chris and Levi gallop along a dirt trail and out across a plain bordered by the dramatically rugged mountains of Mexico. The end.